you're making me giddy. Bullseye.
Hello. Hello. Good evening. Good afternoon. Good night. Or good morning. And welcome to the Yoo-Hoo Podcast, episode number 49. You there, pull up a chair, sit yourself down, get yourself comfy, pull up a drink, your favourite beverage, open it up. Your favourite snack of choice, open that up. Ooh, that looks nice. Can I have one? No? Oh, well. Thank you for joining us tonight, as we will be discussing the Matt Smith era, part one. This is part one of a part two. Actually, it might be a little trilogy again. As we have the Peter Capaldi trilogy, so shall be the Matt Smith trilogy. Part one will be covering the first two series of his reign, maybe a discussion of an impact, or maybe his the announcements when he was to be the Doctor. But first, introductions. I am im on de left, im with the opinions and that with the big mouth and the one who talks bollocks and shit. I'm David. Hello. But sitting to my right, with a sad look on her face, reaching over for a box of chocolates. Make that sound. Rustle, box of chocolates. Munch. It's Clary Lou Who.
Hello.
Would you like a chocolate bar? She is actually munching on chocolate to make herself feel better at this moment in time, because we are about to discuss the Matt Smith era. Now, before we do, can we have a little bit of news? It's come to light that there's been a couple of interviews with Stephen Moffat recently. Or maybe one interview. But all the news items have been broken up into several different articles.
Mm.
The first one is, much to my delight, and other people's delight, is that the Series 8 will not be a split series.
Mm.
Which I think is a damn shame they didn't give one more whole series to Matt Smith, but never mind, there you go.
Mm.
That's another discussion for another time. Another item of news, and this one is a bit more interesting, is that Stephen Moffat has stated that Matt Smith's Doctor, the 11th Doctor, is actually the 13th regeneration.
No, you didn't. You got that wrong.
He has been recently stated in an interview that he considers...
He has stated that Matt Smith is the 11th.
If this is a newer interview, I will show it to you on Digital Spy after this. Stephen Moffat has stated that he is the 13th Doctor. He has included the hand regeneration.
Oh, no.
That's right.
What a load of bollocks.
And the hurt and Maganta hurt. It through 8 point whatever of the War Doctor.
Mm.
So he has counted that as regeneration. Now, that means that actually this episode coming up soon, The Time of the Doctor, will, and I'm actually quite a little bit excited about this, be dealing with the 13 regenerations. Because Moffat has explained, what the hell's Capaldi going to do?
Duh!
It's completely thrown apart. I mean, Moffat was wanting to talk about game changing. Well, my son, you have changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
By God, you've changed the game. You have completely blown apart what people's conceptions are. Feel free to have another chocolate.
Yeah.
of what Doctor Who is. And because you could just amble along merrily away and say, you know, this doctor.
Mm.
And that's all good and well good, and you'd have still done that, but if it wasn't for, say, Robert Holmes writing The Deadly Assassin, I believe that's Robert Holmes, please don't scream at me too hard, coming up with the 13th regeneration idea in 1970 whatnot, 1970... when the idea had not existed up until this point, who's to say it can't change again?
I get the feeling
it's going to actually be dealing with the regeneration cycle sooner than a lot of people think.
Mm.
a lot sooner than a lot of people. Because I thought, I had a funny feeling in my mind that the 8th series was going to be a lot about Capaldi dealing with this last regeneration.
Hmm.
Or dealing with his last persona.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what to make of it.
Hmm.
I like it, I'm excited. I'm actually a little bit pleased that it's going to be Matt Smith that might be doing that. The 11th Doctor. Oh, so.
Hmm.
Thoughts? Feelings? A word in your head?
I don't think it'll be anything exciting. I think they'll obviously deal with it. But
It's interesting that they will be dealing with it. I personally, you know. But
there'll probably be some simple thing like when River gave him a regenerations or something.
You think they'll wave it away in a hand-waving style? Mm-hmm. Ah, fair enough. Okay.
Clutching at straws with the hand regeneration, though.
Well, it is.
Personally, think.
That was his body went into a regeneration cycle. Whether or not what he did with it was not. It was still a regeneration cycle.
It was, but he. No new face.
Yeah, it didn't matter. The funny thing is, what he put into the jar should have been a different doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the.
I wasn't that keen on the whole hand thing anyway, to be honest.
It doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about it.
Excuse me, I've got a cold.
Oh dear. Oh, cough, cough. But it doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about it, as a lot of recent Doctor Who does. You know, if you pick too much, you'll find a lot of threads coming apart.
Well, it's not just recent Doctor Who, though, is it? It's since it began.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's the fun of it. You've got to use your imagination.
I like the fact that people all of a sudden expect continuity in Doctor Who when it was never the most. It's my go-to catchphrase. Since when does Doctor Who give two shits about continuity?
Yeah.
If what had been happening in the 70s and 60s had happened now, there'd be people who go apeshit.
Mm-hmm.
They'd lose a bloody mind.
Yeah.
Well, they're what regenerations? You know, who, the Master can do what now? What the fuck is Gallifrey? You know, the internet would be awash with nutters. as if there aren't enough. I mean, but people going crackers about this sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, have you got any more thoughts?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I suppose that'll do it for the news.
News.
Bit of rhythm there. Woof. Got some Rhythm Nation going on here. but that'll do it for the news. And so we go on to the meat and bones of our episode.
Yes.
This is part one, of course, so please stay tuned for more episodes. Because we haven't talked about Matt Smith enough on this. Quite frankly, we are not. We have not dedicated this podcast to specifically Matt Smith. We do not design to do it. We just find him very interesting to talk about as he is the current incumbent.
Yes.
We've done commentaries. We've stated our preference for him. But as it stands, he is who he is right now. There might be more Capaldi-type style stuff in the future, depending on how the series goes.
Yes.
But as for now, we will start with Matt Smith.
Excuse me, sorry.
No, it's okay. I'll try to time it so I can edit around it, so that's why I don't talk.
It's one cough.
Yeah, well, I'll keep it in. People listen.
You don't need to keep a cough in, but it's one cough.
As far as editing goes, my process is getting lazier and lazier, mm-hmm. So people who are listening to their devices have probably heard us cough once or twice.
Yeah.
Especially my little choking fit when we were talking about Children of Earth.
You kept that in?
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
Because I think my reaction actually is quite funny. It's my reaction plus my choking fit, which seems to...
I haven't listened. I think I've listened to one of our podcasts. And
yeah.
That's it.
And I think that was like way back in 2, I'm 3, really and 4, you know, before 10.
It's quite frightening how much I trust you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we get minimal feedback, but we get enough downloads. I'm happy enough with it. One time in last summer, we actually broke our bandwidth limit. The one time only, and people were still trying to download the episode. And every time they try to download the episode or listen to it, I got an email through saying, "Your current podcast has exceeded its bandwidth level."
Really? And are people still trying to listen to that?
No, not anymore.
I mean, I was going to say.
It resets itself after the month.
Ridiculous.
I mean, Podomatic, when you're dealing with things on a cheap, on a shoestring like we are, trying to do this for free, for free, please donate. But anyway, Matt Smith was announced as the Doctor in about 2009. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
January 2009. On a special, which is known as the, I think it was the 11th Doctor.
Yeah.
A lot of people tuned into this. Was it on BBC Three or was it BBC One? I can never remember.
It was BBC One. I might be wrong.
Right, you okay? Fair enough. Because that makes people say BBC Three, but for some reason it makes sense to me.
I've got to find this out now.
Okay, but
coughing again. Sorry.
You don't have to say I'm coughing again. If you just
sorry,
I'll. Yes, and throughout the episode, you were sort of like going, oh, he's doing this, blah, 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 which I think was the best way to announce a new Doctor, personally. Mm. And there wasn't a fanfare, here's the guy, yeah, you do what you do.
But it was more like a...
I think that's what they were trying to do.
Zoe Borland with his hound, who didn't know anything at all. About Doctor Who.
Which I personally...
it was embarrassing.
I prefer the confidential that they did for announcing Matt Smith's arrival. Because we just went... Because this young chap, who I'd never seen before, waving his hands around with his big, floppy hair, going, Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor. I was like... And I was shocked.
Yeah.
But I wasn't disappointed for some reason. You were.
Yeah, disappointed's the wrong word.
I was expecting Capaldi or Capaldi-like actor after Tennant. Mm. I will admit to that. But what I got was something very different. Waving his hands around and just go, And he still has that, but he's learned a few lessons since then. But he has a sort of uneasy, choppy way of talking when he's being him, when he's being Matt.
Oh, bless him, yeah, he looks so uncomfortable in his interviews.
For further reference, his first few interviews, especially when he appeared on the Jonathan Ross Show on BBC One. His first interview, oh by God, he didn't even know where he was or what he was doing. His interview on the Confidential, he seemed funny, but he's gotten used to that. He's still a bit uncomfortable, you can still see it.
Yeah.
When he's one-on-one with an interviewer, but, yeah. It got a bit of a surprise, and then the year happened, the specials came and gone.
It was BBC One.
It was BBC One, huzzah. And to Wikipedia.
An article said that he was announced as the Doctor on the 3rd of January. But that was after the programme. Mm-hmm. So it was literally the very beginning of 2009.
Yes, so in 2008, Tennant announced he was leaving in November, I think. Was it November? Because it was the National Television Awards, which was the end of the the end of the year. And he sort of had a few months to deal with that. Because they announced roughly before he was quitting was that they weren't going to have a full series. They were going to have a series of specials, like for four episodes through the year, which ending in New Year's Day, I believe. Mm. But yes, and then. The End of Time Part 2 happened, which David Tennant went away from our screens in a ball of flame and was arrived by this young man who screamed his head off.
Yeah.
And then went...
Odd.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I think Matt Smith has since described his initial regeneration as someone who had eaten a hot chip. And I think he described it to Alice Kinston because she had to do a regeneration scene. Spoilers. But, and this young man appeared on our screens. The youngest Doctor by considerable distance.
Yeah.
Younger than me, which made me feel very funny in my tummy. In my tummy.
Yeah, he was 26.
26 when he took the role. Yep. Oh, Jesus Christ. I was approaching my 30s. 2009, I was...
You're only 32.
No, I'm 32 now, but I'm 20... I was 28.
Yeah.
When he... When Tennant was, I was 28 when Matt Smith was announcing the role. And then... We had basically a few months just to watch and redigest this regeneration scene over and over again. That's the only clue we had with this new Doctor.
Yeah.
Ooh, fingers, arms, ooh, legs, I've still got legs.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. You didn't like it at first.
You had I was everything I despise. I kind of was that day.
Do you know what? We're not actually going to talk about that.
No, but I was.
But
I was very...
Fangirly.
Yeah, and I'm not ashamed to say I will be even worse.
You can be even fangirly-er.
Yes.
But I...
Moffat, thank you for ruining my Christmas.
I'm going to state this for a thing. I'm not going to... When we here at Yoo-Hoo Tells will not, for these the Matt Smith trilogy, will not discuss the backlash or the anti... Matt Smith isms that came to be because of the Tennant's departure.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth doing that because it wasn't because I truly believe, and if anybody wants to say something that proves me wrong, I really honestly think it wasn't Matt Smith. It was just because
he wasn't
a lot of people that really loved David Tennant, I think. Really got into Doctor Who, and that's they weren't. I don't think they were used to the change.
No, a lot of people. Yes, yeah.
So I think anybody going into the role, unless there was some kind of
But I mean, I will say the only thing I say. without actually talking about the reactions and whatnot. This is our only really space to talk about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Before we go on, but. He had some, quite frankly, enormous Converse to fill, or sand shoes.
Yeah,
to fill when he stepped in the role, because he had a lot to deal with. He was coming off arguably the most popular Doctor ever in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Just barely over Tom Baker, even if he'd been in the role. I mean, Baker had been in the role 7 years and did a, you know, everybody knows the hat and the floppy scarf and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Tennant had made the viewing figures like skyrocket, or you know, his during his tenure in the show, the viewing figures had skyrocketed. It was event television. Things, news items were talking about this sort of thing.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, it is what it is. You can either say I liked or disliked that era.
I thought he was a brilliant Doctor.
No. In regards to I would rather I don't know where I'm going with this. But suffice to say...
It was difficult for him to do it.
It was difficult because on the back of that, Matt Smith had to come in and now be that guy who replaced... He had to be Peter Davison to Tom Baker.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing to do. And for a lot of people, he won them over pretty much within the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
And if he didn't... That's fair enough, you know, you like what you like.
Everybody's got their opinions.
But he had enough magnetic charm, otherworldliness, and mad capabilities to deal with what he was stepping into.
Yeah.
So much so that by the time an hour was over, people had found a new Doctor.
Yeah.
And to be honest, for the most part, nobody actually complains about his talents as an actor or the Doctor.
Mm.
Nobody actually complains... he will be remembered as a very, very good doctor, no matter what.
Mm. I think I might be wrong, but I think it seems like, anyway, since Matt Smith took over, it seems to be more prominent in America. Or is it just
I was going to come on to that in part two, because
it might be sort of like the stuff we see here, the propaganda and saying,
okay, but I suppose we'll talk about it now, because series 5 marked something, the kernel of an idea or a sort of a gestation of something that started in America.
Mm.
Now, funny enough, series 5, although was popular, very, very, very popular, which was the first series of Matt Smith, it became about series 6 where it started getting very widely spread advertised.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I eat chocolate.
It's not me this time.
That's rule number one for me, and I've broke it.
But they did sort of big screenings for the 11th hour. And
exactly. They went to New York for it.
Ooh.
All of which they never did during the immense popularity in Britain for the show, which is surprising to me. Matt Smith's Doctor was the one who broke America.
Yeah.
I mean, more popular and widespread than ever known before. Okay, it was popular in America during the 70s and 80s. When, what do you call it now? What's that charity show? It's a channel which takes donations. Jesus Christ, Benny, you stink. He's farted.
Oh, lovely.
Health belt.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
See. The one where. It has, right, complete this sentence for me. It's an episode of Friends. The one where Phoebe hates.
PBS,
there you go. Booyah. I knew it. I knew I could rely on your friends when I was helping me through. PBS. Public Broadcast System, or whatever it's called.
Service.
Thank you. That makes more sense than what mine was. When it was broadcast on PBS in America, that was when it became, because it was basically looped episodes of Davison and Baker. Tom, for that. A lot of Americans identified Doctor
That's
Who.
That's like seeing United. Don't.
When you were not referring to Manchester United. Sorry, football talk here at Yoo-Hoo Towers.
Yes, you don't just say
a
United.
Little bit of backstory for people who are non soccer fans or football fans in general. Manchester United are pretty much the dominant force in football. Currently fading out at this moment in time, but that's irrelevant. A lot of pundits and commentators refer to them by their last name, which is United. Without the prefix of Manchester.
Mm.
This irritates fans of other people called United. For instance, Manchester United are actually not a United club because they also have a club in Manchester called Manchester City. We support Newcastle United, who actually are a United club because two clubs, Newcastle West End and Newcastle East End, formed in the 19th century to become Newcastle United FC in 1892. Rock on.
Preach it.
So, we actually are an official United club. Manchester United are not. They are very popular and a decent team who have won plenty of trophies and silverware.
No, that means Sheffield United isn't United.
I know, that doesn't make sense either. But stick me on this, it gets better.
possible.
Manchester United are referred to by pundits and commentators as United. Plain and simply, if you read a newspaper, you'd say United Info Winger. Any Newcastle United fan would not flick to this page to find out if it was them. A West Ham United fan wouldn't flick to this page. A Leeds United fan wouldn't even flick to this page. Because everybody knows, or has become desensitised to the fact that everybody, that most people in media refer to Manchester United as United. And it is quite annoying for the most part.
Very.
And back to the show.
Yes, even though the shortened version, they could be called Man U, which is actually short at the C.
Yes. Or just Man United.
Yes.
Which even works just as well, which I do. Mm. Anyway, back to the show. Matt Smith. Hey, back to the thing.
Yeah.
Yes, he became very popular in America. Mm. His doctor, or his era of the show, became very popular in America. Partly because they had some funding from BBC America. They did some shooting over there for Series 6, which will... I mean, Series 5 was a success, you'd say.
Mm.
It was a new showrunner, a new doctor, and it did very well for itself.
Could have tanked, really, when you think about it.
It could have absolutely slammed
itself. There was complete, total, and utter change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Mm. But anyway... Oh, no, yeah, that's right. You got more to say on it? It could have died on its posterior.
Yes.
But it didn't. In fact, it did very well for itself. And it introduced new elements into Doctor Who, which was actually the use of time travel in a time travel show. In a non-linear fashion.
Yes.
In fact, a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey way. But I shall stop talking like a child.
Bless
you. Oh, for God's sake. But anyway, yeah, it sort of been just a new thing to Doctor Who, which hadn't really been used before.
Mm.
And if it had been used, it been used sparingly.
Yeah.
But this was sort of, I think Moffat's attempt to ease people into that.
Yeah.
For instance, in Pandora Open's Big Bang, Rory is lamenting the loss of his wife. The Doctor's trapped in the box called the Pandorica.
Yeah.
And all seems to be lost.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the Doctor appears with a fez and says, "That's all right, he's dead, but not dead, really. It might be, not sort of." Teleports out.
Mm.
And the entire episode is actually just spent showing how it leads up to that point, using time travel.
Yeah.
As time travel could realistically be used in that context. It makes sense.
Mm.
Now then, Series 6 came along. Matt Smith doing an admirable job being Matt Smith. Can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
He used a lot more time travel concept elements. And as with all time travel concept elements, there was going to be loopholes. Paradoxes.
Yes.
As is with, say, Back to the Future, because you could discuss that for hours, which the Forest Project actually did at one point. it hurt your head to listen to that episode. You have to listen to it. I'll get it for you. You have to listen to the Back to the Future. It'll bake your brain.
I have to have a baked brain?
We'll smoke up too. It will eventually bake your brain. It'll cook you from the inside out.
I do not smoke.
We here at the Yoo-Hoo Towers do not actually imbibe of the illegal green substances which you find in Jamaican cigarettes. Nor do we ever actually condone the use of such which.
It was a joke.
It is a joke. It is not meant to be taken seriously.
It wasn't a very funny one. But it was a joke.
And now back to the show.
Yes.
Anyway, let's smoke up a doobie.
For goodness sake.
A doobie.
Here you go, Cheech.
Anyway. Where was that? He introduced the concept in the Series 6 of a more time-travelly basis.
Yeah.
Where a lot of loopholes could be exploited.
Mm. I loved Series 6.
A lot of people do, but a lot of people don't.
Mm. Yeah, well.
They found people found it underwhelming, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I can't think of anything, though, where people have universally... You can ask anybody, and everybody has the same opinion of it.
Series 6? Oh, well, any episode, in general, of any series.
Just in general.
I do get you.
It doesn't matter, a book, play.
Yeah, there's always someone who hates it, or there's always someone who loves it.
That's why it's so great to be a human. It's so very interesting.
It is a myriad of experiences.
Yes. That's why we have so many different types of films.
Yes, that's true. Series 6, however, became a bit of a funny old thing. It became the rise of, I don't get it. I don't understand. And newspaper articles were written.
About people not...
Yeah, you read them yourself. Newspaper articles were written about the confused... people
I think
being
you
confused.
Emailed me half of them.
What?
I think you emailed me half of the
I did, at one point. But because it was weird to watch people just basically misunderstand what the process of the show was. And if you just sat there from beginning to end, it made perfect sense.
Yeah, and even at least
made enough sense for you to understand the progress of the show.
Yeah.
It's like you can't just sit there with an iPad or a newspaper and half tune in, tune out. Yeah. You never really have with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You can't.
I mean, it's like the Pandora opens. I still don't know yet how the Doctor got his
out in the first
and
place.
Got out.
Nobody does. It's
exactly,
a paradox.
But it doesn't mean that it's not a really good episode.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, well, here's one for you. If Marty McFly travels to the future, past, changes his past, why is Marty McFly still there to be chased by the Lebanese and go back into the DeLorean in 1955 again? It can't loop on itself because time changes. Bah! There you go. There's paradoxes everywhere if you want to think about it.
But it's still
the Terminator has paradoxes. Yeah, it's still a good bloody good film, really enjoyable.
Yes.
But it's like there's paradoxes everywhere. If you're going to involve time travel, paradoxes exist.
Yeah.
How come in Terminator 3, Judgment Day is not actually stopped but postponed? What? The future is not set. The future is what you make of it. To paraphrase.
But then again, apparently, according to Doctor Who, there are fixed points
in time.
In time.
In the Terminator
which cannot
series.
Be changed.
In the Terminator series, the future is not set. You can actually change it. But then they forget to do that and say, well, it's going to happen anyway, so, fuck you. You know,
the other two films are a bit weird.
Let's not talk about them, to be honest with you.
What?
3 and 4.
No, I mean the first
two. Oh, the first two. No, the first
but
two.
But it's like, well, why did they bother with Terminator
2?
Why did
Terminator 2 was basically, it was just after they sent the first Terminator through.
No, but I mean,
it was the absolute last-ditch attempt.
Yeah, yes, but I mean, it's a really, really good film.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Pretty much makes.
Yeah, it makes it redundant because all the big teachings of the first two movies were them saying you can change the future no matter what. Don't worry about it.
Actually,
try.
Not so much with the first one. The first one was just making sure that the person who led led it.
He gave a speech to Sarah Connor.
Oh, yes.
When Kyle was in that subway, or the underpass with Sarah. Yes, he said, this is all pretty confusing, but bear in mind the future is not set.
Meaning you could travel.
There is no future for what we make for ourselves. That was his speech to her, to guide her through, so she could actually try and change it so the machines didn't take
I thought
over.
It was just so that she would
have
the baby, and he would Connor and them.
Well, they want to know that, though.
Bloody blah. That's why.
See, there we go. Oh no, my eyes have crossed. You know, there's that sort of thing where you find yourself disappearing at your own bottom.
But that's why they wanted to kill her in the first place.
Yes, but this isn't the Terminator podcast. This is indeed the Yoo-Hoo podcast.
You brought it up.
I know, but I wasn't expecting to get into such a discussion about this. Anyway, Series 6 came in for a lot of flack, but had some very high-quality episodes.
Yes.
Very much more bringing out the acting qualities of Matt Smith, especially the Doctor's wife.
Yeah.
The Girl Who Waited was a high-quality episode, but wasn't very Matt Smith-heavy. The God Complex. That brought a lot of Matt Smith acting. I know we didn't touch on Series 5 an awful lot, but I think we've got enough of the episode to discuss here.
Yeah.
We'll speed along. You know Series 5, you know what we'll talk about. You know, we'll carry on where we can. I don't know. But yeah, Series 6 has a lot of actually good, decent quality episodes. It's I can actually not actually say any particular series is a terrible episode, just some are not as good as others.
Yeah.
There are enough good episodes and enough bad episodes, but I will say this without any shadow of a hesitation. There are no, I consider there to be no absolute stinkers in Matt Smith's era. There was some disappointment, some not good, but I wouldn't ever call a Matt Smith episode an absolute stinker. There's no Fear Her. There's no Loving Monsters. You know what I mean? And there's no Daleks in Manhattan. Someone argued that the Angels Take Manhattan is Daleks. There's nothing that made me go, I cannot...
watch it again.
I cannot watch it. It'll make my eyes bleed.
You were kind of nearly like that with Vampires in Venice.
So. I was in a very bad mood that day. I remember watching it. And it was the scene when the young lady who threatened to expose him was thrown into the lake where she was eaten by the brethren.
Yeah.
And she went through a very weird, lengthy process of describing what was happening to her right until the moment she was dragged under the water. Which made me seem... And he says, we are Venetians, we can swim. You're not doing a very good job of it, I'm afraid.
I can't swim.
She said, we are Venetians, we can swim.
Yeah. That was being funny, saying, I can't swim.
Who knows? I'm being... It was basically like, I'm in the water. Oh no, what is that by my leg? Oh, it hurts. Oh, that I'm being pulled down. Oh, I'm being eaten. Oh, help, I'm being eaten. Here I go under the water. Goodbye. And I was like, what the fuck? But I've since watched the episode, and I can actually put that aside, because it's basically 2 minutes. I mean, I've made that sound a lot worse than what it was. The rest of the episode is fairly enjoyable enough. In fact, Matt Smith popping out the cake. The discussion when they're at the table, and he pops the toffee in Amy's mouth, and he shuts them all up, and all that sort of thing. It's loads of good fun.
Yeah.
Didn't need the dramatic jump and explosion.
Yeah.
It maybe needed the explosion, but not the weird dramatic jump. It just didn't work.
Now, here's a question. You said that there hasn't been a really, really bad Duff episode in...
I mean, an absolute stinker. Something that made me go, this is disgusting.
But do you think that is due to Matt Smith? Or do you think it is due to the new
I would say it's a combination of both. While not being the biggest fan of... We are the official defenders of Chris Chibnall, or our Chibbers, as we talk him. So anything he writes is automatically gold. But I'd say it was a combination of both. If ever there was an episode that was dragging, or wouldn't have been... You alright over there?
Yeah.
But any episode that was particularly dragging or not particularly great, I think I hear someone whispering to me. If ever there was Matt Smith would pull it to sort of like drag the episode through.
Yeah, in fairness, though, I don't think anybody could have made Fear better.
No,
it sounded like Matt Smith better than.
No, we're not doing that. That's what.
No, but I'm just saying though that it kind of might have come across like that.
No, we're not pulling this into which doctor's better. It's just the quality of writing or the particular the execution of an episode, which makes it either like because Hugh Edwards, you're a decent newsreader, but by God, you practically killed that episode stone dead. Amongst other things.
I thought it was quite a good concept as well.
It's a decent enough concept, but executed so massively poorly.
Yeah.
It didn't. It just. It was cringeworthy. We still never got that Stephen Fry penned episode, which we were promised. That was the replacement for it, apparently.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was. But where was I going? I would. You know, it's all subjective, I suppose. So you might think a lot of Series 7 is complete bobbins. Or you might think, you know, Series 6 is a confusing mess of gobbledygook. In fact, Series 5 might even be a disappointment to you. But that's, in my personal opinion, I have found that even... Because I'll name things, episodes that weren't good. Or were at least disappointing. I mean, I'm not some starry-eyed idiot who thinks everything's great.
Yeah.
Because to think like that would be madness. Madness, I tell you. Look, look.
You'd be happy at but...
ignorance is bliss. As we say. But, I don't know, it just... I can't find to... even when in a disappointing episode, there's something to watch.
Yeah.
There's something there to enjoy.
I know what you mean.
I don't find any of my skin crawling during that time.
No.
Because, you know, later rewatches of End of Time have not been kind. Not been kind to it at all. The Next Doctor isn't pleasant. You know, there's stuff that... even when good... was it in He Says in Vincent and the Doctor? You know, the bad things don't make the good things not count.
Something like that.
And sometimes the good things can make the bad things not as bad. Mm. You know, it's I'm paraphrasing, obviously, and doing a very bad job of it, but it's that sort of thing. That's what it feels like to me at that period. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Wedding of River Song. I'm okay with Let's Kill Hitler. I know its flaws, but I'm not unforgiving for it.
I
enjoy them and I will watch them.
It's got some good bits of
it. Exactly, I will watch them. No, you love them.
Yeah.
You love Let's Kill Hitler. You love Wedding River Song. Yeah. And you're right to be like that because that's who you are. That's your opinion. Nobody can change that.
It's got some quite funny, sarky bits in it.
Yes. That's fine. No, that's fine. But you don't have to feel like you've had to apologise for anything. You shouldn't.
The K-Gypsy Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah, exactly.
The host makes me laugh.
Yeah, Hello Benjamin. And when he goes, who's Benjamin? And then he tries to avert his eyes because she's got her legs. But, yeah, and that's all good fun. But I don't find them as enjoyable as other episodes.
Mm-hmm. See what, I mean, I really like the episodes, but I've still...
You're not blind to the...
Oh, I've seen other episodes of that, you know, I've enjoyed more.
Fair enough. But so we're not daft, so please don't think we are. Even though we are a little bit.
But I love me some Rocky IV, but I know it's not better than the Rocky.
Yeah, I know, and... But and there'll be people who will vehemently describe Rocky IV as the greatest Rocky of all time. The movie series, by the way, and just in case you're wondering. But, Matt Smith was... I personally... A lot of people described him as hit... right, well, for sort of the bring this to a close. Mm. In the first series, a lot of people thought he would took a while to adjust... But apart from, say, his clothing, his hair designs, and other things, and his facial, his behaviour in front of the camera, you know, some editing problems are actually very prominent in Series 5. Mm. But I find he hit the ground running.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite frankly, I mean, he's changed his style, he's evolved, you can see it. He's not a fifth as giddy as he is in the first series.
Yeah.
Even up to the Christmas special. Like, things have changed after that. But I personally think he hit the ground running and never
Definitely.
Really stopped. He's never pulled in a bad performance. He's been one of the most consistent actors to play the role.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we're not bringing this to a conclusion of his time.
Mm.
Because we ain't done yet. This is only part one. So what we're going to do is we're going to do part one, which is the first two series he's done. Part two, which will be the seventh series.
Mm.
Because we've got a lot happening in that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to discuss, including Dave the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then part three will be our farewell episode, where we bid goodbye to Matt Smith. He'll return in an anniversary or whatever, bloobity blue episode.
I'm going to need more chocolate.
So I think we'll bring this to a close, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any closing thoughts? You don't want me to. I would actually, in future episodes, I think we're going to do a five-ish Doctor's reboot review. Mm. And a proper review of Invention, Space and Time.
Mm.
That'll tide us over until the new series starts. But as for now, we've got a planned trilogy going. That'll keep us going there. So, please join us for part two, where we'll be discussing Series 7 and Dave the Doctor, the 50th anniversary. But as for now, this mishmash of a bloody-minded weirdo episode has come to an end.
Yes.
So, I've been David.
I'm Claire.
And you've been listening to the Yoo-Hoo Podcast episode number 49.
Yes.
We love you loads forever.
Yes. Laters, baby.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Go away.